All right, talking about do you take care of your elderly parents? Is it your moral responsibility? And I'm got to tell you that I think if you can do it, I mean, I'm not here to judge, okay? But I can only tell you that if my mom needed somebody to live with her and I didn't live with her, I'd feel like a heel for the rest of my life. And if I hadn't made the offer that she can live at my house and have the entire first floor, but she doesn't want to do that, I'd feel like a heel. Now, look, it may come to that, and I will honor what I said because I think it's the right thing to do. Now, at the same time, I can't fault people who don't do that because you might both work full-time. And what use are you? If somebody needs somebody around the clock, they need somebody around the clock. The other thing is, too, at the same time as I might sound benevolent and, oh, merciful, I do believe in assisted suicide. I believe that when you hit a point in your life where you can present criteria that basically demonstrate beyond any doubt and with metric certainty that you have zero quality of life and it's not likely to get better, that you should have the right to check out painlessly and mercifully. All the surgeries I've had, pretty easy to get put out. Okay, you don't feel a thing. All right, anesthesia paralyzes the body, and it is what it is. And I think you ought to be able to check out on your own terms with dignity. That's the important thing, with dignity. People should not have to starve themselves to death in order to get relief from terminal conditions which have absolutely no chance of remission, cure, treatment that's going to help, or anything else. I'm sorry. I've always believed that. Ever since I was a little boy, I believed it. And as I am 60 years old and looking ahead into the future, I believe it even more. You know, there's suicides that are stupid. I know a number of people who went out because of really stupid reasons. But I've also known some people who have exited, and I've said to myself, you know what? I mean, can't really blame them. I mean, what they were going through wasn't going to get any better. And why prolong the inevitable? 803-0930. I know we are all terminal, but you ought not to have to suffer. And look at it this way. If we treated our dogs and cats the same way as we treated our human beings at the end of life, we would be charged with animal cruelty. All right? I don't like putting animals down any more than you do, but sometimes it has to be done. And you got to know when to do it. That's always the hard part, the timing. And you wish your animal could talk to you. And my cat, Glenna, did talk to me. She hid in my office all weekend long. Monday, when I was about to take her into the vet for the final visit, she got out of my office, she sat on the couch, she waited for me to come downstairs, and she basically walked into her carrier. She knew. So that was actually kind of easy as far as putting an animal down is concerned. And no, I don't want a cat. I don't want a dog. I don't want any pets. At this point, it wouldn't be fair to the animal, okay? It wouldn't be fair to my survivors. And I just frankly enjoy at this point in my life being animal free. I like the I like the freedom of gotta go home and feed the cat. Got to go home and walk the dog. I like the freedom of not having to do that. If I want to be out all night and be dissolute, I'll do it. So as much as I appreciate you offering me animals, please don't, because I can't do it. It's not fair. All right. I can't do it. Let's go to Bob on a cell phone. Bob, from the last hour, considerable experience, and we're not going to name any facilities here, but he says he has considerable experience working around nursing homes and basically said that most patients would be much better off at the SPCA. I'll try to reach Gina Latuca for a definitive answer on that, but if I know Gina and if I know the SPCA of Erie County, serving Erie County as I do, you're right. They probably would get better care at the SPCA.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for picking this particular subject. I've been thinking of calling a program such as yours to vent somewhat, because I've been told that keeping things inside is not good for you. And the nursing homes and the hospitals have gone ahead and caused that in me. As a young man, around Cub Scout, Boy Scout age, I had to care for a elderly family member who was taken out of the hospital or nursing home and brought home because the individual would be in bed and is basically a little better off than a tomato. They put the food down in front of the individual, come back a few hours later. Oh, not hungry today? Oh, we'll just take this and put it back into the kitchen.
Hey, look, if somebody's got the cognitive skills of canned peaches, I mean, what's the point?
Right. But this is back in the late 50s, early 60s. So the mindset was a little bit different back then.
Let me ask you, though. When you hear me saying things like that, do you get offended? Because I'm surprised I haven't had more calls from people today saying, that is so offensive what you're saying. Every day of life should be quality of life, and people should have every day that God gave them. And I think to myself, have you ever been to a nursing home? Have you ever seen what it's like? Have you ever heard the sounds, smelled the smells, and seen what happens in nursing homes? Because there's something about dignity that is more important than life. Agree, disagree, Bob?
I'd agree with you to some extent and disagree to you to some extent.
Where do you disagree?
That there are individuals who of my acquaintance that they should have been able to make a decision to check out, but did not have the wherewithal to check out. And starving them to death because they can't make a decision, that's not the right way to be doing things. And to,
I don't think so either. We're not in disagreement at all, sir.
Yeah,
but we've had a couple of callers today who've said that because we don't have assisted suicide in New York State, that that's what their loved ones have had to do. They've had to self-starve and self-dehydrate. And I don't know where our disagreement is, because I think it ought to be as painless as possible, and it ought to be done for rational reasons. And if you want to set up a panel of three doctors to okay somebody's decision to have the final exit, well, okay, go ahead and do that, I guess.
I'm going to say, like, getting to the point where you're able to get those three doctors available and in to see the individual is possibly where the disagreement allows, because standing there and watching a individual essentially suffer of malnutrition or such, that's where it's basically killing the individual who has to care for these or be concerned for these individuals. So as a child, my father went ahead and checked the individual out of the hospital or nursing home and brought the individual home so we could feed the individual each and every day, to which the individual consume the food that you put into the individual's mouth each and every day. So essentially there's a sign that the individual wishes to continue. But why have a hospital, when no decision has been made, go ahead and put food down in front of an individual who doesn't have the ability to lift their hands or legs and put the food into their own mouth, to just simply put that food in front of them and then come back several hours later? Oh, not hungry? Well, we'll just take that away and maybe tomorrow. Let's say that's idiocy.
It's cruel. I would argue it's not just idiocy, sir. To me, it's cruel and inhumane. And if you did that to a dog, you'd be busted under state agriculture law.
That is what I The eventuality of just recently, and that's a couple of years back ago, that I had to tolerate going into a hospital and demanding care for an individual and being told that I was to leave the hospital immediately, that if I didn't, I would be arrested. And then trying to confront a doctor short seconds after that, try to confront a doctor and have the doctor go ahead, "Oh, don't come near me! You're threatening me!" And say, "What?"
What a knucklehead.
Yes.
I mean, they really should teach self-defense to medical doctors, I guess, for people like you, sir. Bob, I thank you for the call. I hear the frustration in your voice. Obviously, you're a guy who's seen a lot. I'm sorry you had to see that, and we've got to come up with better ways to make sure that our elderly are properly taken care of, number one. And number two, when they wish to exit of their own free will and volition or according to pre-existing directives, they ought to be allowed to do so with dignity, my opinion. It isn't murder. It is euthanasia, and it's the same thing. What, do you murder your cat? Do you murder your dog? Are you doing something humane? It's inhumane to keep things alive longer than they're enjoying life. Thank you kindly, Bob. Bob, I got to move on to some other folks, brother. I got to move on, man. I'm sorry. I apologize. Don't hate me. Don't hate me, please. You know, I mentioned the SPCA earlier and Gina Latuca with the SPCA, and I think it's only fair to just give you a snippet of a song that has always been one of Gina's favorites.
You made it, cursing at your life.
Sing it, Gina.
You're a discontented mother.
Gina, are you vomiting yet?
I've no doubt you dream about the things you'll never do, but I wish someone had a talk to me.
So the next time you see Gina from the SPCA, I just want you to sing this song to her, and she will appreciate it. I'm pretty sure her husband, Joel, will also appreciate it. Very nice people. Love them dearly, both of them. And you're welcome, Gina. Let's get to the calls. I mean, she loves that song almost as much as she loves Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall Part 2, which has to be our music coming back at 5:35. Okay, it just has to be. Let's go to just expecting a text to come in at any moment. Here is Kim in Buffalo on WBEN. Kim, you're on. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. What's up?
I don't know if I'm going to be clear in what I'm trying to say, but I've heard other folks speak like you do. Our elderly being a burden. And I've got a friend from another country, and he's said, you know, in our country, we don't have these old people homes. It's just understood that we take care of our elderly. And if you look at our country as a whole, the elderly, we consider them a burden. Look at standard health insurance plans. What do we offer? We offer abortion. We'll pay for abortion. Are we going to offer long-term care assistance? No, we don't. Why don't we? Which is cheaper? Who's more valuable? There's a problem with the way we are seeing human beings in our country.
I want to talk to you more about this after the news, because I want somebody to disagree with it, but I can't do you justice right now, so I got a break. I got to do the news, but we'll come back, and if it makes you feel any better, I don't want to be a burden to my children. And I'm sorry, but if I'm bedridden and I need to be fed every 6 hours and changed every 2 hours, in my world, I'm a burden to my kids. And I don't want to be a burden to my kids. They've got jobs. They've got careers. They've got their own lives. And I've served my purpose. I procreated the species. My job is done here. 803-0930, star 930. I'm not checking out anytime soon that I'm going to plan on anyway. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I believe it's John Locke, Tanner. Okay, thank you. Cognitive? No, not at all. I'm so cruel.
We don't need no thought control.
see. I like the song.
No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Gina Latuca from the SPCA has always despised this. But how do you despise this guitar? What do you go to a G chord there? All right. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Gina texted me when I was doing like the Minnie Riperton and Dr. John references, asking why I'd forgotten Charlene. Actually, I didn't forget Charlene. I was just waiting for the right text to come in, and then I had to whip out I've Never Been to Me. Is that the name of the song? I've Never Been to Me. Have we established that? Yeah, okay. Song sucks, by the way. Unlike the Pink Floyd song I just played. All right, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Have you taken care of your elderly parents? And look, I would happily move in with my mom. I'd happily have my mom move in with me. She doesn't want that, but if she ever does want it, that's what I will do. And I will take care of her to the best of my ability. Now, Kim in Buffalo, Kim, you're talking about other countries and people not regarding their senior citizens as burdens. And I would submit that in the United States, we have so many, number one, double income households. Number two, we have so many single parents and divorces that they might not have in other countries. The family structures in other countries might be more amenable to taking in an elderly loved one. So what would you say to that?
100%. 100%. And I think that is the root of so many things that are going on in our country. Exactly. I mean, if you don't have a strong family, then everything else just goes by the wayside. And then we are required to have nursing homes. Think about it. You have an ad on your program. I think it says the cost of a nursing home is $16,000 to $18,000 a month. $16,000 to $18,000 a month, and you've heard these horrendous stories of your people calling in, and that's the type of care that's provided. So there's such a disconnect, and for whatever reason, we tolerate it. Why do we tolerate it? I don't know why we tolerate it.
Because once somebody goes into a nursing home, it's almost like, okay, we'll see them once a month for a half hour, and then we've met our obligation.
And there's that. I mean, every family is not. I mean, every family has their issues. Just because somebody's elderly doesn't mean those things don't go away. But as a society, this is a problem. It's a huge problem. And I was thinking about what you said, Tom, that, you know, you were saying, hey, if I can't feed myself, if I can't clean myself, hey, I'm out of here. And again, I may not be clear what I'm saying. But why? So in that thought process, what I hear you saying is, if I can't take care of myself, I'm no use to society. Have a nice day. Well,
misinterpret, because I know what I enjoy out of life, and when I can't do the things that I enjoy out of life, it's time for me to check out. And that's my choice. I think that ought to be my choice. I'm not saying that it's right for everybody, but I felt that way since I was a little kid.
Yeah, but you said do the things I can enjoy. Let's say, I don't know, I'm just going to use a silly example. Let's say you really like riding a bike, okay? You really like riding a bike. Well, you can't ride a bike anymore because of, I don't know, A, B, and C. But you can do everything else.
Well, it's like...
That's not true. It's not what you enjoy. It's if you needed assistance. If you need people to help feed you, clothe you, bathe you.
No. That's not life. I mean, to you, that might be life. To me, that's not life.
That's the reason. Exactly. But I'm asking you to be honest here. That's what you're really saying. If you can't take care of you.
What it gets down to is enjoyment of life. Now, obviously, if I can't feed myself, I'm certainly not going to be able to go out and listen to music. I'm not going to be able to play music. And what point is there? I mean, to me, it's all about quality of life and not about quantity of life. And to be very honest with you, I do not wish to be a burden on people in my family. That's just not my bag. I don't like being in hospitals. I spent enough time in them in the past 6 years to know what I don't want at the end of my life. I sure as hell don't want that.
Yeah, Yeah, I hear you. I do hear you. But I think I could take the same example of somebody, let's say somebody who has Down syndrome, okay? They can take care of their activities of daily living, so to speak, but they cannot be alone. They've got to be helped and monitored. Do we get rid of those people? Absolutely not.
No, because that would be a decision of murder based on a mental incapacity that the individual who would be murdered is not in a mental state to be able to make a rational decision, correct?
To choose it, that's correct. Yes, I see. And you're saying that would be your choice. I hear what you're saying. I 100% disagree with it.
Because that's cool.
Human life is sacred. And I think that's the missing link of everything that's going on in our country. Human life is sacred from conception to natural death. Whether you can contribute, whether you, whatever, you know, you're a human being. Therefore, you are a sacred being, and that needs to be reverenced and honored. And we don't even the terminology that we use, be a burden. Why is a baby a burden? Technically, well, yeah, right? But of course, it's huge joy, everybody. But is that child a burden? Well, yeah, you got to get up, you got to clean, you got to change your whole life.
Right, but the difference.
We don't say a baby's a burden.
No, but the difference is with a child, there is an upward trajectory of a productive life. With somebody who is elderly and who has become incapacitated, there is an irreversible, irrevocable downward trajectory.
Downward.
So I believe
100%. But so the only reason that we're happy about babies is because of what they will do? No, Tom, you know that. You didn't love your children because, oh, here's a little one. In 20, 30 years, you're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be this. And blah, blah, blah. You loved your children because they were there.
They were advancing with motor skills, cognitive skills, watching Barney. They were advancing. They weren't declining.
And if they weren't, would you stop loving your children? Come on. No, you would not. I'll answer for you. You would not. You love your children, not because they're advancing.
Let's say I accept my children. I'll say that much. They're all right. I mean, but as far as me, look, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for you. And I know me well enough to know that there will come a point where when I'm unable to do my basic functioning, when I'm unable to enjoy my life, I will take matters into my own hands. And yes, because A, I don't wish to be a burden on people and mess up their lives. B, I don't want some rich bastard nursing home owner to get everything I've ever worked for my entire life so they can play polo.
I hear you. I disagree with your decision.
But it's my decision. It's my life, and I'll do what I want.
Yeah. I hear you. And so be it, but I still think you're wrong. But I do have a favor to ask you. There was a woman who called in earlier, and she said she was part of some group or something, and you wouldn't let her give the name. Is there any way you could get it off?
Probably not. Probably not.
Everybody's listening to you.
I wish everybody was listening to me. I'll tell you what. If you send me an email and the lady sends me an email, I'll try to patch you two together. How's that?
That would be awesome. I do appreciate your time. It was a great topic. Thanks so much.
All right, my pleasure. Kim, thank you so much. And you are absolutely entitled to disagree. Thank you. But no, I mean, you know, this is not some revelatory new thought. I mean, this is literally the way I've thought since I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. This is not something new that, well, I'm getting older now and things are starting to fall apart and not work. So this is something that my entire life. And honestly, I think visiting my great aunt in a really crappy nursing home played a role in that decision. Listening to the screams, the moans, and my great aunt telling her relative that she had just messed the bed, without using the word messed, that left an indelible mark on me. And I'm sorry, but you know, George Carlin has a little thing that he said. I think it's George Carlin. Is it George Carlin or is it Tony Soprano? Well, basically, somebody once said something about human beings at the end of life. Speaking for myself, I can't disagree with that. I'm sorry, I just can't disagree. And again, I would put the question out there, why are we nicer to our pets than we are to our people? Seriously, why? It would have been so cruel and inhumane for me to keep any of my cats alive past the time I did that it would have been downright sadistic. And I don't happen to be a sadistic person. Not even a masochistic person, for that matter. I'm glad Kim called in. I mean, just because you call in, it doesn't mean you have to agree with me. I mean, we can have friendly disagreements. I just, you know, I just, for myself, I can't tell you what's right for you. But for me, what's right for me is if I can't enjoy life, then I don't see much point in continuing it. And I'd have to be really, really, really in a bad way for me to do something like that. It would have to be irreversible and with no hope. And whether it's mentally or physically, I would hope that I'd have the mental ability and capacity to end things in a way that wouldn't hurt anybody else. And I wouldn't do it in the house either. That's just wrong. That's just, I mean, it's going to affect the housing price. I mean, do it outside. Let's go to, that's what I'm going to do. If it comes to that, I mean, given the choice, here is Lisa in Boston, New York. Sorry about that, Lisa. Go right ahead, hon.
That's okay. Hi, Tom. I just wanted to let everybody know that there are other options out there if you're a caregiver and you're looking for a break from your caregiving duties that are free. They're all over Western New York. They're social respite programs. They're generally done with volunteers that are trained by myself and the folks from the Alzheimer's Association. There, a lot of them are in the faith-based community, but there are some in other agencies now. There's a huge grant going right now through the Ralph Wilson Foundation called Exhale, and they're helping to establish these programs throughout Western New York. They have them one day a month, usually in the beginning for 4 hours. The trained volunteers are one-on-one buddies with that person for the day. We do animal therapy through dogs, through goats, through sheep. I've had all kinds of things come in because I live out here in the country. Sorry. And I take advantage of my friends with animals.
I'm not allowed within 100 feet of a sheep. Sorry.
They have a good time with them. We have sing-along time. They love to sing. We have a nice meal that's prepared by volunteers. We have crafts. I do seated Tai Chi. There's all kinds of things that we do with these people. And you know what? They have a good time. They go home. They're tired. They're going to sleep better. That respite continues on into the night because they're, you know, going home, sleeping, giving the caregiver an extended break from that. And there's no charge for these programs.
So people can get more information. Now, I know Leilani Pelletier is, she moved from this area.
Yep, I worked with Leilani.
Oh, what a wonderful lady. You know, if people were to call the Alzheimer's Association of Western New York, they could get information on this respite program, which is free. Yep. So people can at least get away for a day. And as you know, obviously, Lisa, you're well aware of this. Caregiver fatigue is a real issue.
Absolutely. Caregivers many times will pass away before their loved one because they're carrying themselves to death. They're neglecting their own health, their own respite, their own activities, their own friends, everything. And they're taking care. That's why I got into this. I, you know, worked in senior services for years in the Caregiver Resource Center. And
bless
my heart broke when I saw these people.
Oh, bless your heart. This is really good to know. So if you're listening to this show, and I'm going to do another show like this, I got to leave like a full board of calls, which I hate doing at the end of the show.
But I'd love to talk more about it, believe me.
Well, next time I do the show, call in and, you know, send me an email so I know to whom I am speaking so we can talk about it, because I know there are a lot of people taking care of individuals, and they need a break. But as far as, like, can we just talk real quickly, dementia? Are your people able to deal with somebody who is, well, who has dementia?
Yeah, that's what the training is all about, so that they're comfortable caring for someone with dementia in the mild dementia
sometimes
ages.
Sometimes they get nasty and violent. You know that.
Well, then they're not appropriate for the program if they're combative.
My love, I thank you for the call. I thank everybody for the calls. Thank you, Lisa. Drop me an email. I'm so sorry I have to leave people on hold. But on the other hand, my dears, I do thank you for all of the calls today. Really interesting stuff. As you can tell, I'm not a big fan of nursing homes. I'm really not. And I don't ever want to end up in one. And I'll see to it, to the best of my ability, that that never happens. It is 5:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks to Tanner Saunders. Another perfect day for Tanner Saunders. He's just racking them up one after another. I mean, yeah, the one musical bump kind of sucked, but you know, he more than made up for it by pulling out Dr. John and Charlene at a last-minute request.